Bundy blows up. Let's play ball. Welcome in, everybody, to Leading Off right here on Fantasy Pros. It is me, Joey P. Joe P. Zapia. That handsome young man, as always, is Dinger Dan Harris. And it's you. And we're talking all things baseball here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. And of course, I want to remind everybody, if you're joining us for the first time, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Fantasy Pros MLB, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your pods. And of course, if you're one of the peanuts in the Cracker Jacks, joining us live here every single morning, welcome aboard. This is us. This is all about we. And Dan Harris, it was a fun night of baseball. Shohei Ohtani showing up in the Bronx, continuing to show Vlad Guerrero Jr. that he is going to be in this MVP race to the very bitter end, if not already in the lead. But Dan Harris, how are you feeling after last night's games?
Good. It was fun. I mean, again, any day that there's no Ohtani, homer is good. You had monstrous RBI performances. You had blowing chunks on the mound. Like, oof. We had a little bit of everything yesterday, you know?
A little bit of everything came out of Dylan Bundy yesterday. My goodness. And thanks, Mike Mayer, for sending me that tweet. I had no idea what I was walking into. No. I was catching up on Loki with the kids, and I see this tweet, and I'm like, what is this thing that Mike Mayer sent me? I'm looking, I'm like, God, what is that?
Just mute Mayer, man. That's what you got to do. Mute the guy. You know, he's verified now. He thinks he's something. He thinks he can send out tweets like that. Just mute him, man.
Your life. By the way, I saw that. He's verified now. So his tag's okay. Is he going to be all right? Is he going to make it through?
We haven't mentioned it to Mayer, but as Mayer has pointed out, it doesn't sound like Tags follows him anyway, so he has no idea. So there we go. One of our integral pieces here at Fantasy Pros, Tags ignores completely. That guy.
That guy, he's the worst. All right, let's go up with the three dups right here. And it's Dan mentioned big RBI performances. Nick Castellanos, 7 RBI, 4 of them with that grand slam. Kyle Schwarber cannot be stopped. Kyle Schwarber has become the new Pat Burrell for the New York Mets. Just an absolute Met killer. 2 more home runs yesterday. Everybody hit a home run for the Nats yesterday, except the guy I picked. I was pretty pissed off about that. I'm not going to lie. I saw runs in the first couple innings. I'm like, here we go. Let's go, Juan Soto. No, Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner, everybody else. Anyway, and Shohei Ohtani gets his leadoff big hit, and he had gone 0-for in Yankee Stadium previously in that last series he had played. So Ohtani ties Vlad for the 26th home run in Major League Baseball. Pretty amazing feat there. And the thing I love about Ohtani, besides all the pitching and the hitting, he seems to recognize the big stage, and I like that. I like the players that were like, where the lights shine brightest on them, they show up at go time. And, you know, baseball sometimes, you look at Clayton Kershaw's history, right? He's been that guy that struggled in the playoffs when the bright lights sometimes were on him. I know he kind of shook that off a little bit last year, finally. Barry Bonds, historically, was another one of those players, was so great. And then the big spotlight sometimes on him in the playoffs and big moments and stuff like that, it wasn't as good until much later on in his career. But this is something I love about watching Ohtani. It feels like he always knows it's going to be his time right now to shine, and he's going to perform. And I think that's good for baseball.
Ohtani is great for baseball. I look at just the home run leaderboard, right? Just the home run leaderboard. Forget about everything else. It is Vladdy and Ohtani tied at the top, and second is Fernando Tatis Jr., who again has missed time, which is preposterous. But man, it's awesome. Everything about him is great, and doing it in Yankee Stadium. I'm wondering, Joe, because Ohtani is somebody, I mean, obviously we're roughly halfway through the season, so you want to, we're a little less, but you want to double it. He's on pace for 52 home runs. I want to give you some over-unders on both him and Schwarber. Over-under on Ohtani, 42 home runs.
I'm going to say over. I think this is, we're seeing a magical thing here from Ohtani.
I'm going to go over too. What about Schwarber, Joe? Because look, you look into Schwarber, and here's the deal. When you look at Schwarber's StatCast data, you look at almost everything. Nothing's like, no, here comes the regression. Everything looks very legitimate, as it often does. That's the one thing everybody always needs to remember about when you look at the data. For the most part, it's telling you what has happened, not what, necessarily is going to happen, but it tells you whether or not something that has happened is legitimate. What has happened is legitimate with Schwarber. I mean, this is really, remember, he had 38 home runs a couple of years ago, so this isn't like totally unprecedented. But if I put that number out there again, he's got 24 already. If I put 30 out there again for Schwarber, what do you think? Over or under?
total. On 30? Yeah. 38. I'm going to say that's a good number. I'm going to say slightly under because he is a very streaky player. And yeah. And he is the one guy, too, in spring training who was actually in the best shape of his life. You know, that's that. I mean, it's 100% true. And if you look at Vlad's body transformation, you look at Kyle Schwarber's body transformation. I mean, Schwarber right now, he smells money. I mean, he's out there to get paid right now. This is a big free agent year for him. Make no mistake about it. If you look at what he's done this month, because I have that over here, too, 15 home runs, 29 RBIs. Like, hitting 15 home runs in a month is absurd.
Yeah.
He's also hitting 290, which is also usually not exactly where he's going to be. But here's my thing.
Batting average is 270, to be fair. So he's outperforming that a little bit.
He is. And I would also ask you, how many games does he have left against the Mets? Because clearly, I mean, of those 15 home runs, I'm pretty sure, I'm not going to verify this, I think 14 of them against the Mets. So right. I just want to say, I think he's on a magical streak. What goes up must come down with players like Schwarber. So I think he'll finish under that. But it's such a monstrous month that that might support even if he's just mediocre. What do you think? Do you think he goes over that 38?
I mean, I think that's the right lot. Like, I think that's the number Vegas should set if they were setting it. I'd probably take the under just because, look, we've seen every player, Daniel Murphy, in the playoffs. We've seen every player have these massive hot streaks that come out. With that said, again, his hard hit percentage this year, 51.7%. A couple of years ago when he hit 38 home runs, 51.2%. It's not like this is completely unprecedented. His barrel percentage is out of control. He'll cool down a little bit, but yeah, I mean, he's got power, so he might fall into 40 home runs, but I think he is going to cool off still. When you look at what he's done so far, everything really is supported. It's been a monstrous run right now, obviously, and over a very short period of time. So I do think he'll cool down, but he'll have value rest of the season.
Before we get to the downs, I just want to tell Mike Mayer, this is what happens when you get verified. Pickles throwing some shade at Mike Mayer. I think you told me to drop Schwarber for Dylan Carlson earlier this season. See why Tags ignores you? Well done, Pickles. See, this is what happens when you become a big deal. People start taking shots at you. Yeah. Welcome to our world, Mayer. It's fun, isn't it? why is everybody bot now, too? Like it's Vlad bot and the Schwarberator and the Schwarbot. And like, stop with it. Stop with this. Just stop.
There's only one bot, and it's Klubot, and that's because he has no emotions, and he doesn't have facial expressions. Seriously. I will allow that. Everything else is done.
Corey Kluber, it's a boy. Great.
That's great.
Corey Kluber, you just won a Cy Young for the second time. Awesome.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Terrific. All right. Let's try to bring more excitement than Corey Kluber. Three down. Not exciting day for Matt Manning. 3 2/3 innings. 9 runs against the Indians. ERA is now at 8. And it's funny because Manning came up and had a pretty good first outing, and his AAA numbers weren't that hot. So people were like, oh, what's going on here? When were we going to learn? Sell high with the kids who come up for the most part in redraft. Wander Franco's that one guy. And I don't care if he had an 0-for stretch. I don't care. Just relax. It's going to be fine. You mentioned yesterday about baseball activities. Trout is doing some limited ones now. I don't know what those, I think they're like playing RBI baseball. I think he looked at a bat. Yeah. He put on his glove. Those are the activities.
I will take whatever he's doing, okay? Look at his cleats. Baseball, I will take it.
So he's out until after the All-Star break, which, I mean, we all knew anyway, so this is not news. Yeah. And then Dylan Bundy left with heat exhaustion. And let me tell you, it was hot yesterday in the tri-state area. Yeah. It was hot and muggy. It was in the 90 degrees. And it was gross. But, what's worse? Dylan Bundy's 6.78 ERA or him blowing chunks? What's uglier?
I don't know. Just mash.
What turns
together
your stomach more?
They both are equally disgusting. I felt bad for the guy. Yeah, I mean, you knew. Thankfully, it wasn't anything worse than that. But yeah, you're right. It was. The balls were flying out of the yard yesterday, all over the place. So Bundy, though, does he keep his spot in the rotation? Not because of blowing chunks on the mound.
Why didn't they cut away? That's what I don't understand. Like, they had the camera on him, and I guess they were just following, but then, like,
no, I can tell you why. Mike Mayer runs the cameras at Yankee Stadium, so he wanted to make sure everybody saw them. Does he hold his rotation spot at this point, Joe? Because what's the name? Is it who filled in for him yesterday? Was it Suarez? Oh. Somebody in the chat remind me. I'm drawing.
Oh my god!
Right,
I know, and he was very good too. He did all right.
Very good. He was very good.
Suarez? Am I saying?
Yeah, I think so. So he's a guy who could fill in for him. I mean, Bundy at this point, just there's nothing to get optimistic about. And I was a guy who was very much on the Bundy train. I very much bought what we saw last year, because I did before.
It was consistent, Dan. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, getting out of Baltimore.
He had two bad starts out of 12, basically. Yeah. And you look at it and go, okay, that's fine. it was Suarez, the Suarezinator. Yeah. I was right. but I don't know. I mean, I can only assume that maybe you just kind of give him a break from the rotation as you head into the All-Star break. Give him 2 weeks off there. You know, skip the turn, do something like that, and just let him kind of figure it out. Because I don't know the answer, because I don't know what's different from last year to this year, unless it's health. I mean, and nothing else has really changed with him. So it's very bizarre. I want to do a little quick Joe's Tough Guys here. We haven't done this in a while. This was a cool story I read this morning on MLB.com about Gwen Goldman, a 70-year-old woman. Okay. I don't know if you saw this story. This is great. She was 10 years old, she wrote a letter to the Yankees, said, "I want to be a bat girl. Why can only boys be bat boys? Why can't the girls be, you know, bat boys or however you want to call it?" And they basically said, "Oh, that's okay. No." And she said, "Look, I could do this. I know, you know, I understand how to do it. I want to be a part of this. I want to be on the stadium, you know, on the field in the stadium wearing the pinstripes and the whole thing." Well, I guess her daughter saved the letter that she wrote, and then they sent it back to her with like a decline back in the day, and they resent it to Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman granted the wish. So at 70 years old yesterday, she got to throw out the first pitch. She became a bat girl. She was going out there. She was hanging out with Garrett Cole in the dugout. She was the happiest person I've ever seen. At 70 years old, she looked like she was seven. This was amazing. Like, she just, you could see the light in her eyes. That's tough. Waiting 60 years just to be a bat girl at Yankee Stadium. Good on you, Gwen Goldman. That's a tough lady right there. So you made Joe's Tough Guys.
Kudos to the Yankees, by the way. It's a really awesome thing to do. And fun story. My daughter's now favorite player is Bat Boy, because she doesn't understand. And she was watching. We were watching a game yesterday. And she was like, "Dad, everybody has their names on their jerseys, right?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "That's my favorite player." And it was the guy. And they had Bat Boy on the Mets game. Like, on his thing. And she's convinced that's guy is going to be Batman. Batboy, wherever you are, we're rooting for you here in the Harris House.
And good job there by Go Cards. Gwen Bot. Well done.
Cards is all about the bots today. I see that. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the other standouts here. Besides Schwarber, you had Paulo Espino. 5 shutout innings, 3 Ks against the Mets, of course. Nick Castellanos was just incredible yesterday. He's up to 347, 398, 604 slash. Hunter Renfroe, who we've talked about so many times, the cheap DFS guy on this program, 2 more home runs. He's having a really good season, all things considered, and kind of saving the bottom of that order. That Red Sox order is very top heavy. Hunter Renfroe is that one guy after the first four guys that really kind of keeps it going. Yeah. Freddie Peralta struggled in the first and then unloaded on the Cubs, rather, 2.17 ERA on the year, 0.87 whip, 8 more strikeouts for him. Jose Ramirez with a homer, 5 RBIs. He's up to 17 after dealing with an injury a few weeks back there. Keston Hiura, 2-for-4 with a homer. I remember somebody talking about him yesterday on the show as a lineup builder. Trevor Bauer, 8 Ks. So what are your recent thoughts on Trevor Bauer before we get to the next guy on the list?
I think that this is, you know, it's a good start, obviously, against the Giants, which has, you know, a very, very good offense. I can't believe we're saying that right now in 2021. But
it feels dirty when you say it.
It feels dirty. He battled, you know, only 2 runs, and the 8 Ks are good. He allowed 9 base runners, and I think that sort of thing, what we're seeing from Bauer, right, we're seeing like massive regression right now from Garrett Cole, for example, right? We're seeing the strikeouts go down pretty heavily. We're seeing him clearly not as comfortable. This is not peak Bauer, and the spin rates are down, and Bauer basically came out and admitted that he used a ton of stuff, which was not surprising after he got pissed at how well everybody else was kind of doing, which is totally fine. But Bauer is a really, really cerebral pitcher. We know that. He is going to find a way, like he is right now, to overcome not having, you know, stuff to kind of get his grip better. But I do think, again, that the peak part of him is probably over. This is a good start. But I do think, like, the whip's going to creep up a little bit. The dominant starts are probably going to become fewer and further between. At the same time, again, if there's a guy who I trust to tinker his way into success, despite the lack of sticky stuff, it is Bauer. So I'm encouraged generally by what I've seen, because I did worry that we were going to see a Garrett Cole type. Oh, boy, I'm a little nervous about this. So this is good.
It does. It was an important, I think, start, too, for those people who have him, who have been a little shaky lately. Mm-hmm. And look, on the year, he's at 2.59 ERA and 1 whip. At the end of the day, you sign up for that. Awesome. I mean, What a terrific investment he's been. Ryan Mountcastle, by the way, it's like every day another Mountcastle discussion. Yeah. He had a homer, 3 RBI yesterday. I have his stats here for the month of June, if you'd like to hear them, because
I would love it.
They are, how do you say, a spectacular. Hold on one sec. Let me pull this up here, because you right now in the month of June, he's hitting .352 with a .410 OBP, a .681 slugging, and a .1091 OPS, 9 homers, 24 RBI, and 16 runs scored. Ryan Mountcastle. And here's the thing. It's a game of streaks, right? And Mountcastle showed last year how good he could be at the hot streak. And he also showed you at times how bad he was, because in April, that OPS was .515. In May, it was .748. Now, it's gotten better. But here's a question for you. Do you take Ryan Mountcastle now and sell him at peak value because you're concerned, number one, that this cannot possibly maintain this level of productivity, because it's high peak productivity, but at the same time, you could probably cash in on him pretty well, and you know there's probably a slump coming at some point because that's kind of been what he's shown you over his short career. So what do you do at Ryan Mountcastle? Ride the wave or kick the tires on some trades?
I think it would be silly to not at least kick the tires on some trades, just because, again, he's not an 1100 OPS guy, like you mentioned that he's doing in June. And there are people, and, you know, by the way, Pickles was killing, you know, Mayer a little bit. Mayer was basically as on the Mountcastle train as anyone was. Mm-hmm. So I liked him coming into the year. It's good to see this is more balancing out, but he's not this good. So I certainly would look to see what I could get. At the same time, I don't really think he's a flash in the pan with this. I think this is much more of a natural correction to the, you know, unluckiness or just the general struggles that we saw early in the season. So in other words, I'm fine to ride him out all year because I do like what I've seen. But I think that you would be silly if you don't at least say, hey, you know, this is the young kid. Everybody loves the young kid. We're in Baltimore. Look at this guy. See what I can get for him. See if you can sell high for sure. Can I mention one of the other guys that you mentioned? Because it's a guy who I've been dealing with.
Yeah,
Hunter Renfroe is kind of, he's interesting to me because I liked Renfroe coming in. The big thing about Renfroe is his defense is so good that he locks himself in the lineup regardless. And, you know, his whole career, he's just kind of been a lefty masher, can't hit righties. He's certainly much better against lefties this year, .347 batting average against lefties. But he's batting .240 against righties. He's hitting with enough power. And as you said,
here's the thing. I don't care about the batting average against. Yep. What's the OPS against right-handed pitching?
Against the righties.
That's the thing to me. Like, you know, the batting average, you make a contact, but is he making strong contact? Is he hitting doubles? Is he hitting home runs? Because if he's doing that, then he's a set it and forget it. And the hard part for Renfroe is when you end up playing for certain teams like the Rays, they're always going to play your splits. So they're never going to let you get better at your deficits. Whereas, once again, as you're pointing out, in Boston, you have this opportunity here for him.
Yeah, I mean, his OPS is not great against righties. It's .677 and it's
not, 1070, no, it's
1072 against lefties. Yes, not great was a more euphemistic, but that's fine. But regardless, the one thing I'll say about him again is, he's gotten more aggressive, which seems counterintuitive, right? Because he's kind of a swing and miss guy, but his swing percentage, he's just making a lot more contact. And I don't know whether or not he's shortened up a little bit to try to make more contact, whether or not that's an affirmative effort on his part, but that's the deal. When I looked at his profile, I was surprised because look, I have, you know, everybody, by the way, should play in like a 50 round draft and hold draft Champions League on NFBC, because that will let you sort of get a hold of everybody. And the guys who are carrying me in that league is Renfroe, a guy who I've basically been forced to play all year long. He has value. And the one thing I'll say is, especially if you have a week like this week against, last night he played a righty, but if you have a week like this week where he's facing three lefties, that's when you put him in your lineup and you kind of set it and forget it. So he is a guy who I want to say, despite the fact that he's still not great against righties, I do think he's a guy who has rest of season value and you can kind of plug him in a five outfielder league in your lineup without much worry.
All right, let's get to the injury news and notes here. Kyle Freeland left with cramping. You got to watch out for the cramping. Yeah. It's a real thing. The cramps will hit you every time, my friends. Ketel Marte mercifully placed on the IL. Marcus Stroman on the bereavement list. Mike Trout moved to the 60-day IL. We talked about that earlier. Anthony Rizzo sat out with a back injury. The Franimal expected back on Saturday. Thank goodness I acquired him in a trade the day before he went on the IL. Oh, those are the worst, right? You got a guy, you're like, awesome, I got this player. I like this player a lot. But you know what? You know, this is good timing here for the Indians because they could certainly use another bat here besides Ramirez in that lineup. And Franmil was playing pretty well up until the injury. Corey Seager has plateaued, quote unquote, in his return and is not on the verge of returning. So, Dan, have you ever plateaued before you returning from the IL? I don't even know what this means. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I think what they mean is plateaued is when they say we don't know what's happening and he's just not getting better. So that's the way they describe that. This is a little worrisome right now because this is not the type of injury that I feel like you should have setbacks. This is sort of more of the clean, okay, here you go. You're going to come back on this date. Here we go. They're still talking like it's, you know, we'll be back around maybe the All-Star. But they have no idea right now because he's still having pain in his hand when he swings. So I am concerned about this, especially given that he was right about to come back. As for plateauing, my career plateaued basically like the second I got here. So
I'm just not all right. Before we get to the updated home run board and, of course, the DFS, we got 15 full games tonight. I want to tell everybody about Manscaped. They sent me another box. I must be Manscaped's favorite host of any podcast because every day there's a box out there. Sometimes they send me flowers. It's amazing. But like, I want to give everybody the bouquet of grooming. So please go to manscaped.com, get that lawnmower 4.0, the longest battery life ever, the skin safe technology, the 4K LED light, the control lock on the travel thing. So when you travel, it doesn't start vibrating and people think you have some sort of weird toy in your bag. No. It's just the lawnmower. Don't worry. It's safe. It's fine. But the lawnmower 4.0 can be yours. Just go to manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping with the code leading off. Again, that code is leading off. Your balls will thank you. And I want to thank everybody, too, starting to get some good little catchphrases for the show.
Oh, yeah.
Some fun things going on there. Dan and I were talking about, you know, leading off home run calls and shaved balls. I don't know if that's going to make the T-shirt. True. But if you think you'd buy that T-shirt, tell us here in the chat. I would love to know that. All right. Cracker Jacks update. Care TK changed their name because I shamed them to D. Gordon Liddy, which is hilarious. That is hilarious. That's so good. This is one of the times of me shaming somebody publicly actually works. Turf Durgeson and Gokarts each got 2 home runs from Schwarber. They're up to 9. And Randy, I can only assume Randy Marsh, got 1 from Jose Ramirez and is now up to 8. So still Wonky Penguin and Dr. Glenn with 11. D. Gordon Liddy at 10. I am at 9 with Mr. Magoo and KONSD, who I think was a rapper in the late 90s, I'm pretty sure. And thank you, Melissa. She would wear that shirt. So there you go. See? Look at that. Look at that. See? I mean, there we go. Perfect. And there you go, Wonky Penguin. I would not buy that shirt. So we've hit both of the yes, no, fair enough. Okay. Let's get to the DFS league because we got a lot to break down here today. Let's start here with the pitchers. Cash game arms. Look, Robbie Ray, our boy, 10-8 and 10-5, FanDuel and DK pricing. Brandon Woodruff, 11-4 and 11K. So here's the thing. It's only a $500 difference on DK. It's a little bit more expensive on FanDuel to go up to Woodruff. With the slate of pitchers tonight, it's guys like Charlie Morton, guys like Germán Márquez. It's worth it to me in cash to get a little bit more insurance policy with Brandon Woodruff. That's my feeling about it in terms of cash. How do you feel about cash game arms tonight? Ray, Woodruff. I mean, you could certainly play both. Ray's been great, but Woodruff, we talked about those stats. He's been absolutely dominant.
And especially when you're against a strikeout prone team like the Cubs. And it does not sound, as you mentioned, that Anthony Rizzo is going to come back. So you look up and down that lineup. It is kind of grotesque at various times. So really, I do think it's hard to get away from Woodruff right now. But I really don't have a problem with Ray. There's been, you know, the walks are gone. He's going up against the Mariners. It's hard to get too, you know, down on him other than, you know, obviously the park, not the best. So if given the price difference, not that much, I would go with Woodruff. But again, if you feel strongly about Ray, I'm not going to argue with you vociferously.
Oh, vociferously. Like I love that. The vocab. We dropped it. How's that word of the day, toilet paper, working
it's
out for
really
you?
Really working out for me. I love it. Yeah.
Do you find the wipe? Never mind. Okay, do you find a vociferous wipe? All right. GPP arms tonight on FanDuel. Trevor Rogers, 8.7, 9.7 on DK. $1,000 difference there. 8.7, I'm in. 9.7 on DK. I think I might be out a little bit. Charlie Morton against the Mets. Last time Charlie Morton dominated the Mets. 9K for Morton on FanDuel, 8.8. And then Herman Marquez is just 7K over on FanDuel and on DK at 7.7. He's at home. Look, I mean, I know it's Colorado, but he's going against Pittsburgh. I don't know, Dan. I feel comfortable with Herman Marquez at this price. And if you want to have a fun tournament lineup with Marquez and just pay up for the big offenses, whether it be Atlanta, Boston, Cleveland, Toronto, Oakland, Colorado, like those are all the offenses that are very much in play. Houston, certainly another one always in play. I mean, Marquez allows you to do all of that.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. And again, we saw the game yesterday. I believe it was 2-0 with the Pirates. They, you know, you've got these soaring temperatures all over the country, but not in Colorado, actually. It's pretty mild there. So the ball, you know, it always flies out there, of course, but not quite as much as it might be in other parks. So I don't hate it at all. Marquez has been very solid of late. Yeah, and against the Pirates, I mean, you could go out there and probably pitch a quality start right now against the Pirates. So maybe
I was
not
a terrible pitcher. I was an emergency pitcher at best.
A normally athletic human. So, I, you know, for that, I'm fine to go with Marquez. And I like it. And I still think that, for the most part, DFS players are scared of going to any pitcher ever in Colorado other than Jacob deGrom. So I don't mind it at all.
All right, let's talk about the four outcome games. Kenta Maeda and the Twins take two against the White Sox. Got rained out yesterday. Yeah. I'm okay with messing around with Giolito in this one. 9.8, 8.7 because of the way the slate is. Just like last night, they're not a ton of high-end options. I think Kenta Maeda as a secondary arm in tournaments is intriguing. You pair him and Marquez together, that's also a fascinating lineup because, once again, if you hit on the right offensive totals and those guys both get wins, all of a sudden, that is a huge separator, but it is not a single entry play. That is a tournament play only. Kevin Gausman versus Walker Buehler. What are your thoughts on this one? Because these are two guys about as good as it gets, but I don't know here. Going against each other, this is, once again, you got to flip the coin. Do you want to flip it tonight?
No, I think I just want to stay away. I look, when we've talked these through all season long, I just find that I feel way more comfortable when I just avoid these types of games. I mean, both guys are probably going to be excellent. Gausman has been as good a pitcher as any non-DeGrom pitcher in the game. Walker Buehler, you know, is going to give you quality innings. I just kind of want to stay away, as I do, by the way, from the Twins and the White Sox, just because I don't like the crazy extra rest at this point that these guys are. Maeda hasn't pitched in, like, you know, 8 days. Just, it makes me a little like, I don't know.
No, the extra rest does affect guys different. Sometimes people come out great. Sometimes it is the opposite. So you're not
gonna
wrong.
I'm just going to watch it. So I'm going to stay away from both these games.
All right. Let's get to the lineup builders on FanDuel. IKF is 2.5. Dalton Varsho is a free square against Carlos Martinez tonight. How you doing? Yep. Keston Hira, 2.5. Still cheap on FanDuel. And Willie Adames, 2.6. Some cheap guys there. Just saying. We talked about against Zach Davies. Let's go. On DK, Dalton Varsho is a free square there, too. If he's in the lineup, of course, 2K. David Peralta, 2.1. Keston Hira is still pretty cheap there on DK, 3.5. Hunter Renfroe, 3.6. And Jesus Sanchez at 2.3. Which brings us to home run calls of the night. Dan Harris, who is your call? Who is going yard?
I'm going to go with my guy, Freddie Freeman. I mean, as you know, the Mets are basically throwing out randos right now to see what they can get. I think, unfortunately, I think the Braves are going to probably have a big game here. So I'm going to go with Freddie Freeman over Tyler McGill.
All right. Dan's going with the Freeman bot. I will go with the Jose Ramirez bot. Yes, swinging a hot bat right now. I love the matchup against Urania tonight. I feel good about that one. Let's see if I am correct. So Freddie Freeman for Dan, Jose Ramirez for me. And if you want to get in on all the fun, Dan, how can everyone join our Discord?
FantasyPros.com/chat. Again, it's always hopping in there. I asked Mayor how many home run calls we get per night. He says it's averaging somewhere around 50 people.
No, not 50. Give this man a raise. No wonder he's verified.
It's very true. That's why he's verified. I do think, again, it's a lot of fun. Everybody sort of cheers everybody on. So, you know, getting there, fantasypros.com/chat, tons of fun. And again, it's not just the home run calls, of course. MLB, NFL, all channels up and down. If you're looking for anything, if you're looking for leagues, there are channels for that as well. So getting there, fantasypros.com/chat.
Awesome stuff. And don't forget, how many days? We got one more day.
One more day for the giveaway. Yep.
It's like that Les Miserables song. It's like, one more day. Yeah. And we've got one more for the Shohei Ohtani baseball, who could probably, basically, is going to be MVP this year. You're going to want an autographed Shohei Ohtani baseball from this season. It could sit there on your mantle, over the fireplace. You could build a whole Shohei Ohtani whole just experience, just a temple to Shohei. Would be amazing. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. All you have to do is go to fantasypros.com/MLB contest. You drop a review on Apple Podcasts or CastBox. You screenshot it. You fill out the little form there. You upload the screenshot. Bang, it's done. You could win this or anything else we give away here for free at fantasypros.com/MLB contest. As Dan said, join the Discord chat at fantasypros.com/chat. And don't forget to subscribe to Leading Off right here. Subscribe to Fantasy Pros MLB channel, because even in the offseason, Dan and I have been talking, like, when baseball is gone and free agency happens or stuff happens, we're going to pop in here and we're going to be that pleasant surprise. You're like, oh, a video with Joe and Dan talking baseball in December? What? That's right. But you're not going to know if you don't subscribe. So go there, do that, click that notifications button. Dan, any final thoughts for today?
No.
Very good. Very good. Vociferous. As always,
I just feel like I always say no and then give you a final thought. So
you do. Like, my final thought is you were yawning a lot. Did you get a bad night's sleep last night or coffee this morning?
I haven't. Oh. That is a very astute observation. I have not had my coffee. It's not you. It's not our the peanuts and the Cracker Jacks. I haven't had my coffee. I'm going to pop out to Trader Joe's, get some cold brew.
Yeah, I had the cold brew. That's why I'm crazed this morning, as always. Yep. I want to thank everybody, as always, for being part of the show. We can't do it without you. And this is our joy. This is our half hour of joy here for Dan and I go back to the salt mines of everyday life. And we hope that we're that for you as well. But we'll be back again tomorrow to do it all again. In the meantime, that'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Dinger Dan, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.